Morning, and welcome to episode 12 of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disk. Yes, we're back with another 30 minutes of video game news, video game rumours, and non sequiturs.
What?
I'm John. And what?
Non sequiturs.
A non sequitur?
What's that?
It's a random comment.
Couldn't you have just said random things instead of using asmgoentigas?
Using real words, okay.
Right. Yeah, because Jordan buggered that up, welcome to the podcast with me, the sensible one, and the guy who makes words up in the corner over there.
News, rumours and non-sequiturs. I'm Jordez, as I've already mentioned, and with me, destroying the show from the beginning is...
Nicknameless James. I don't destroy it. We build a utopia of podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to use non-sequitur, but you're allowed to use utopia.
Yeah, utopia is a word that most people have heard of.
Right, let's move away from this nonsense and get straight into things with...
The news.
A newly announced update to Valve's Steam service will highlight user-generated content on the Steam community. This has come just a few days after Steam also announced that they were going to move into software sales, as well as just standard game sales.
So, what like software?
This isn't a real example, but they'd sell things like Photoshop and...
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that. I think it's September the 5th they said that that was coming in.
So, I don't know about you, but the whole community side of Steam's always seemed to... passed me by. I've never really been that into it. Like this morning, I was playing Driver San Francisco before doing this podcast and logging off. You know, usually open some window saying, did you know Train Simulator's on sale again?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Well, it was saying the brand new Steam community is coming, but because I don't really care, I didn't read any of it. So are they going to try and make it more social networky, do you think?
Well, it's basically just bringing to the front all the user-generated content, the mods and stuff, so...
The mods and the rockers?
Yes.
Bringing the Who and the Jam back together. Thank you, Steam.
So when you, click onto the community page, instead of finding, your groups and stuff, it's just going to be like, the best mods around!
Paul Weller.
With the software side of things, I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest. Although it might be good to see, Photoshop on sale for £100 instead of a billion.
Yeah.
For
one Friday, random point during the year. This weekend, you can get the entire Adobe Master Collection for £3.49.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great, but I personally would prefer it to stay as just game-centric.
Yeah.
It's something that I thought they would have done quite a long time ago. I mean... expanding into the market. That's what I would have done personally if I was in their position. But I'm not. So.
Expanding meerkats, you heard it here first.
Epic Games have bought. There. I can't talk today.
Epic Games have bought another studio.
Yes. People Can Fly, who made Bulletstorm and are currently working on the new Gears of War.
And they're in Poland, aren't they?
Yes. Right.
Bit of random. Random fact there. Factoid.
People Can Fly have already been working on the Gears of War Judgment, so this makes sense to be bought by them. And they previously made Bulletstorm, which is just basically Gears of War. It's a caricature of Gears of War, I personally think.
I played a bit with the giant robot dinosaur.
Well, was this before or after they were shouting, what the dick?
It was probably going at the same time.
Yeah. So, it'd be interesting to see how they're going to merge the two. I mean, I would like to see a game more like Bulletstorm, a more light-hearted one, as opposed to Gears of War, which is just, grr, manly, grr, shoot, brr.
I've never played Gears of War, so I can't really comment. Should I have?
You've essentially just played it now that I've described it to you in that manner.
Okay.
That's equivalent to playing it. If we were doing the retro roundup, you would have done less work on it than I just...
Right.
So, yes. HMV has seen a $16 million loss and 12% drop in sales for the year. 17%, there's been a 17% drop in the games market for the retailer. It doesn't necessarily say anything bad about the market of the video games in general, just HMVs. But it's quite interesting because when Game and GameStation were going through their, we're screwed period and started closing down everything, we saw HMV put a lot more emphasis on video games. You won't have seen the new layout in Huddersfield.
Why has it gone all mental?
Yeah, I went in the other day and all the games are right at the front of the store now.
All right.
With like all the headphones and stuff just to the side of it. And the movies and the CDs, which were previously like the focal points, are right at the back. So there's been a lot more highlight on video games, and it's not paying off for them.
Oh.
Whether this is just HMV or whether we're seeing the UK games market as a whole start to slow down, which wouldn't be surprising considering that there's been no games out this year. It's just something to bear in mind, I suppose. Anything you care to add?
1 in 5,000 North Atlantic lobsters are born bright blue. Factoid!
Non sequiturs. And also there's a fun thing is sometimes they can be born blue on one side and red on the other.
Factoid!
Yes.
Like Spider-Man in that reboot.
I was going for more like a Two-Face.
Oh. It's like a Two-Face, Lobster, Spider-Man amalgamation.
Yes.
Lob-Face-Man. On with the podcast.
The Android-based open-source console, Ouya, has finished its Kickstarter, raising $8.5 million, and has now begun pre-orders for, well, basically non-Kickstarter-based pre-orders. We actually didn't mention the Ouya at any point, I don't believe.
How did we?
We did mention it briefly.
I think we spoke about it a lot, didn't we, outside of podcasts, did we?
Yes, it was unfortunate because it like had got announced the day after we recorded one.
That's it.
And then we had a week or two off in between, so we never really got to discuss it as a whole. I'm really, really not excited, but I just want to see how this is going to turn out. I mean, because you can buy it now for like $200 with four controllers and the console, or you can buy it for like $110 for the console and a single controller, which is cheap, cheap, cheap. It's just whether people are going to pick up on it. I mean, there was a lot of people immediately went, oh yeah, this is awesome. And a lot of people went, well, it's not going to take off. But have you seen the Oracle
The vision goggle things?
Yes, the virtual reality
3D
headset.
3D tracking reality scope. Yeah.
Yeah, the VR headset.
The bloke who did Doom? Or am I thinking of someone else?
No, he's endorsed it heavily, John Carmack. And he's made Doom 3 BFG edition compatible with the headsets. That's also a big Kickstarter, and you can buy dev kits for it on Kickstarter now.
Going back to the Ouya, did you ever fund it?
No.
I thought about it, but in the end, I didn't. I think I just forgot about it more than anything else.
Yeah, it's just too big of a risk for me. I mean, it could quite easily fail horribly, but on the other hand, it could be awesome. So I've hedged my bets, and since it would have like cost $100 to fund it and get a the console and single controller, and now it's only cost like $110. It was already funded by the time I got to it, so I'm just going to wait and see how it happens, and hopefully it does kick off, because this could be great for independent developers, like a fully open source console.
Yeah.
But whether it'll take off, I'm unsure of yet, which is why I did not fund. And that is the news. Yeah, with the Ouya, I think there's the first thing that'll happen will people will build emulators for them so they can play old retro games. Just like you've been doing recently. You've been playing Wild Arms for the SNES, so let's move on to that in the Retro Roundup. Wild Guns, wasn't it? Not Wild Arms.
What?
Which game was it? Wild Arms or Wild Guns? I forget. Wild Guns. Wild Arms is the PlayStation 1 RPG. So, yes. How did you find Wild...
Guns. Yeah, it was crap, so I played F-Zero.
What?
I tried to play Wild Guns, but I didn't have a clue what was going on. The longest I survived was about 20 minutes in this Wild West town just shooting random things before this giant robot came crabbing along and just ruined my day. 1 minute I'd be there emptying shells into all the mofos trying to diss me. And then all of a sudden he started swinging a lasso around his head with the same button I was firing with and then launching that. It was just, I had no idea what was going on. So I thought, you can sod off, and I played F-Zero instead, because F-Zero is brilliant. Thumbs up for F-Zero.
You've got to hold the button to shoot and then double tap it for the lasso.
See, I didn't know that. I was hitting the buttons thinking, shoot.
Did you not realise after he started lassoing things that, you know, your tactic was probably wrong?
No, because he just seemed to do it randomly.
Did you not think, Jordan, that's what you do in all shooting games. You start shooting.
Jordan, ask me about F-Zero.
No. You start shooting and then you realise it doesn't work and then you hold the shoot button to see if you can do continuous fire because continuous fire is just better anyway.
And yeah, then but you it's play a crap game. Can't polish a turd, Jordan.
But Wild Guns is a great game, despite the fact that I forget its name every time. It was one of the... It's a mix between a third-person shooter and a gallery shooter. So, I'm guessing you're going to give that a thumbs down because you're an idiot.
I'll give F-Zero a thumbs up.
Yeah, F-Zero. The futuristic racing game, which basically is Wipeout, pre-Wipeout.
Yep, it's brilliant.
So, another quality segment here in the Retro Roundup.
The Reticule Presents.
Yes, that's all right. So... Well, this is just... It's ruined my day again. This is almost as bad as when you start playing Yo Noi.
You're too negative, Jordan.
So, this Fortnite, this podcast, you're going to be playing a game on the NES. We've not played an NES game for a while, have we?
It was Yo Noi. What was that SNES?
That you weren't tasked with playing that, so it doesn't count.
It was my retro game of the year 2011, though.
No, it wasn't. I can't remember what was. But yes, we'll ignore that. So, released in the past, in some points, 1989, if my memory serves correct, you'll be playing DuckTales.
Is that a thing with the ducks in?
Well, yes.
Count Duckula?
Scrooge McDuck.
That's the one.
Yes, a Disney game. And you'll be happy to know the engine it's based on, you're very familiar with.
CryEngine.
Mega Man.
Oh.
It's based on the Mega Man engine. So, hopefully you will die thousands and thousands of times as Scrooge McDuck. I don't believe it's anywhere near as difficult as Mega Man 2, but yes, it should be fun to watch.
So, given the context of the game, I'm expecting some foul play.
I'm just ashamed to hear that pun. What have you brought this segment to? I mean, it was once glorious, but now it's all not playing the games and making puns.
I'll make it brilliant. You're just there swanning about in the corner.
So yes, DuckTales. NES, 1989. Go play that. And do actually play this one. Any rumours related to DuckTales by any chance?
Shall I see if I can find some factoid based on ducks?
No, please don't. Let's just move on to James's rumour room.
The word nerd was first coined by Dr. Zeus in If I Ran the Zoo. Factoid. Rumour room.
James's rumour room.
Yeah. So, rumours... When I was looking for these, I thought, I found about three or four within the space of about 5 minutes, and I thought, this whole summer drought thing, it's a conspiracy. There's loads of news out there. And then it kind of staggered a bit, and it turns out there is, once again, very little to talk about.
Whoa. The summer drought isn't to do with news, it's to do with games. There's no games out.
Exactly.
So there's tons of news.
There's a a game rumor news relationship. It's a triangle. It's a Bermuda triangle of stuff.
Anyway, just go on.
Yeah, Sony House. Speaking of Sony, Sony have allowed the Last Guardian trademark to slip out of existence. The time came to renew the whole Last Guardian thing, and they didn't bother. And this leads to three possible prongs that we're heading into. Firstly, not really that plausible, is that it's a mistake on Sony's behalf. They accidentally forgot to...
I believe in Sony's ineptitude.
Well, I don't, because I like them.
I like them, but I still believe that they would do something
right,
like
Sony,
that.
Don't worry, I'm here. James is here. Shh. Secondly, it's completely deaded, and that's the end of it. Or it's had a name change. So, there's three possible things there. And it's worth mentioning as well that the... We spoke about this some time ago, but the director stood down, didn't he, and took up a consultant role. So
he quit as the director, but he's still there in an advisory role.
So the what do you think? Are we still going to see Last Guardian? Is the dead horse being kicked hard enough every now and then to give a slight muscle spasm? And
I'm going to go with Sony mess up here, because I remember, like, 2 weeks ago, they announced that it was still alive. So, it'd be a bit curious for them to go, well, it's alive. Oh, no, dead.
My theory is they've got one of those kind of out-of-office automatic email things. So, whenever a industry journalist just sends them an email saying, is this in development? They get an automatic response back saying, yes.
yeah, that's definitely possible. But a name change, somehow I don't see. I don't know why.
Mind you, that bloke who directed The Matrix, he changed his name, didn't he? And his sex, we won't go into that.
I did not know that. But yeah, Last Guardian, I don't see him changing the name for some reason. So I'm going with Sony mistake. Wait, would it be? It wouldn't be Sony anyway, it'd be the developers, wouldn't it? Team Ico.
Team, yeah. Ico.
So yes. Next rumour.
Next rumour. Onwards. In the last one episode thing of whatever this we do, we mentioned how there was a supposed Durango kit for sale. A bloke was asking for $10,000, I think it was. That has actually sold on eBay for almost £13,000, which is about $20,000. A lot of money. And he has released an image which supposedly shows Kinect 2.0. As you'd expect, it's got far superior depth tracking and also shows individual finger tracking, as the current Kinect can't do that. And it
so it thinks you're wearing mittens.
Huh? Yes, it does think you're wearing mittens. And this, the whole increased depth tracking and finger does fit the Microsoft document that was leaked a few months, weeks back, well, whatever the hell it was, I don't know, before Microsoft's lawyers got all
Lawyery
and got all red tape on their asses and revoked.
Probably.
Onwards.
Onwards.
Eurogamer Czech. That's Czech as in the country, not Czech as in like checkmate or you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Word.
Claim that Mafia 3 is in development by 2K Czech, and it is rumoured to be a launch title for the Xbox Nigel on PlayStation 4.
I've not actually played any of the previous Mafia games, which is a surprise.
I have, so I'll just say my opinion. Mafia 1 was incredible. It was way ahead of its time. It was... Play it. You'll enjoy it. It's amazing. Absolutely incredible game. You can probably pick it up now for dirt cheap. The second one kind of struggled from trying too hard. They kind of, it's like they knew what was good about the first one and then pushed it too much, and it didn't have any charm to it. It wasn't as good as the first one, so I'm a bit, I was expecting a third one, but I'm not that, you know, excited for it. 2K Czech helped with GTA 4, which is something that I only learned recently, and they are also rumoured to be helping with GTA 5,
which is also rumoured to be a launch title for the next consoles.
Mm.
So they've got their fingers in a lot of pies if they are doing all that.
They are.
Images have been leaked online that show another Prince of Persia reboot. It shows the prince now kind of looks kind of like Morpheus in the Matrix kind of thing.
It loads looks of, like an loads of tank.
Dangly crap. Yeah, that's it. In a kind of Middle Eastern city, which you wouldn't really expect given it's Prince of Persia. But the image is called Prince of Persia Zero. That's the name of the file that's been leaked. And Prince of Persia Zero was apparently a game that was going to be set in modern day times, Prince of Persia, which doesn't sound like Assassin's Creed, anything else. So, a new Prince of Persia. It's the whole thing of it being another reboot. How many reboots? We've seen two reboots so far, haven't we?
This will be the fourth.
The fourth?
Oh no, there's the original Prince of Persia trilogy. Then it got rebooted into the second Prince of Persia trilogy. Then it got rebooted into the 2008 Prince of Persia game, which was cel-shaded.
That's the cartoon one.
Yeah, yeah, with Nolan North doing the voice. Then it got unrebooted back to the second trilogy. So there's three or four reboots. It depends if you count the unboot as a reboot.
So the Prince of Persia trilogy is just endlessly getting kicked up and down a corridor.
Yeah, interesting fact, Assassin's Creed originally did start as Prince of Persia game.
I'll give you an interesting fact. The average person spends about 2 years on the phone in a lifetime. Factoid!
So yeah, it started off as a Prince of Persia game, so this is not a surprise at all. What is surprising is that they won't let the Prince of... Does the Prince of Persia brand hold any hold nowadays? Do people go, wow, a Prince of Persia game? Do they? Because I've not thought of that. If I see a Prince of Persia to one of my mates to go, oh, okay. They don't go, sweet, let's go get that. So it makes me wonder why they keep on rebooting it instead of calling it something like they did with Assassin's Creed and just changing it and create a new IP and something that people actually care about instead of beating this dead horse into a pulp.
I think it's kind of like Einstein's cosmological constant. In that it's just like it's always there and it's just a kind of just background force on the shelves in game shops.
But, the images leaked, which Pop Zero, as he was called, which amused me. Pop Zero! They actually did look very good, and I was reading the thing, it had some reference to Direct 11 in there, which might suggest that it's a... either running on a high-end PC, as it will be, or it might be made available to next-gen consoles because PS3 and Xbox currently don't do Direct 11.
Yeah, cool. Now, did we record earlier when you were talking about the Wii U? General banter?
That was just our pre-podcast warm-up.
Yeah. It's rumoured that the... I don't actually know if this is a rumour. I've got some rumours afterwards, but the first bit might actually be truth. We don't know. We'll find out. Apparently, the Wii U, the complexity of the remote is causing delays, and the original date was rumoured to be November, but it could now slip back into December. The US will apparently still see November release date due to like Thanksgiving and Black Friday sales, whereas everywhere else will see it later, so November... December kind of time. So
presumably the complexity of the controller would be a production issue. And
yes.
So they'd put all the stock over into America so they can hit the sales.
Yep.
I hope that's not true, actually.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Staying with the Wii U, Amazon may have leaked the box art for what the Wii U will look like. It's kind of, you've got, well, if you're listening to this, chances are you've got Google. Go on Google, image search, search for Amazon Wii U leaked box art, find it yourself. This isn't the kind of thing that we should really be talking about on an audio podcast, as this is visual, but it's kind of like, there's like a blue thing at the top, like blue when squashed thing. Go on.
When you say the box art, do you mean the box art of the games or the console itself?
The games, not the kind of... thing.
Yeah, I've actually seen this box art, and It's got like a little blue banner at the top saying Wii U. It's nothing and then that yellow, interesting to look at, to be honest.
Yeah.
It just looks like a standard box, but...
It does. It's a Roman, and yeah. Jordan, do you know what the plastic things on the end of shoelaces are called?
I do. It's something with an eye in it.
Nope, it's aglets.
Huh.
Factoid.
Sure, I had like a weird double eye in it.
Nope. No.
Okay.
Well, maybe it does in like Portuguese or something. That was the rumour room. Bring on the games.
Bring on the games, we shall, and we move on to Game of the Week. Have you been playing any games this week, James?
I've been playing a bit more Driver San Francisco, getting into the story a bit more. When it goes a bit more, well, I say story, the abstract bits are a bit cool, but I think what's kind of disappointed me, purely from being a petrol head and being obsessed with cars, is that there isn't much of a hook early on, like, in terms of what cars you can get access to. Because you can hop around the city, you can get in what you want. But to begin with, it's all, like, crap American cars and taxis and nothing interesting. Just want, like, one Bentley that you can just use for a mission or something and then get afterwards, and just some good car to just get your interest and keep you going. Yeah.
I think with this installment in the Driver series, it moved a lot away from being like geared toward people like you, like who enjoy cars and enjoy the driving, to just general game fans. I mean, switching between cars that made your entire driving skill pretty much useless. Because I used to just like go into a race, hijack a truck, smash that across the road, and then just like drive through afterwards.
Exactly. This is like to begin with, in the races, I always tried really hard to try and win them.
Yeah.
And then, especially the races where you have to finish in first and second with two different vehicles.
Yeah.
And then after that, you just realise that you might as well just switch to cars coming the other way and then just take out your competitors. So, the whole skill, kind of.
Oh, well, it's got a different tactical aspect, I suppose. I personally more enjoyed like that aspect of it as opposed to the driving itself. I was never a great fan of the Driver series because I'm not a big fan of racing games in general. It played into people like my hands more than yours.
So yeah, since I put some more time into it, I'm enjoying it a bit more. So yeah, played that. I'll spend more time on that. It's going good. Another game I found on my Game Boys again, and loads of Game Boy games. I've been playing Advance Wars.
Oh, sweet. That's one game that I've been meaning to make you play in the Retro Roundup for a long time.
How good is it?
Such a good game. Tactical RPG, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's probably like the only kind of tactical turn-based kind of thing that I properly enjoy. And I was thinking, if there was a 3DS version, I'd get a 3DS for that.
Yeah.
And seeing your reaction, would you be the same?
I've got a 3DS.
Have you?
Yeah.
How long have you had that for?
Just for my game of the week.
I can't see the 3D very well.
It's not turned on at the moment. I don't really like it. But, yes, Advance Wars. It's a lot more fast-paced than other tactical RPGs like Final Fantasy Tactics, Tactics Ogre, and Disgaea, which is, I presume, why you enjoy it more.
It's got tanks.
I absolutely love those that type of game, and it's one that's severely underrepresented in the wider video game community.
Did you play any of the DS ones?
No, I did not, because I heard that they were not much like the originals.
Because I've been playing Advance Wars and Advance Wars 2.
Yeah.
The second one is what I've been putting more time into, just because you get to play as more characters, don't you, in that one?
Yeah.
But absolutely fantastic games. I've seen emulators on the internet for Game Boys. If you can play Advance Wars and Advance Wars 2, just do it, because they are incredible. And I hope there's a 3DS Advance Wars coming out. If there is, I will buy a 3DS XL instantly.
Yeah. It is such a good game. One that didn't really get as much coverage as... I didn't know anyone owned that. So I'm really happy to see that you've been playing it.
Maybe we're the only two people who bought copies.
Yeah.
That's what you've been playing, anyway.
As you might have heard from the brief clip of music I played a second ago when I opened my 3DS, I've been playing Final Fantasy I've been playing Theatre Rhythm Final Fantasy, which is a very, very simple rhythm game, but it uses all the music from previous Final Fantasy games. And as you probably know, I absolutely adore the music from Final Fantasy games. So this is, it's definitely a game just for those. It's for the Final Fantasy fans, because as a game itself, it's not cracking. I mean, it's really rudimentary, the rhythm bass, the rhythm tapping. So it's not going to keep you occupied for that long unless you've got an emotional attachment to the music itself, which is something that you definitely get through playing every Final Fantasy game, because music was so crucial to those games. Like at every major point in the game, there would be like a memorable soundtrack. So every time you hear that music, it brought you back to that moment in the game. Whenever I hear Terra's theme from Final Fantasy VI, I'm transported to back when I was a kid and just playing that game so much. Really good game for any Final Fantasy fan. Not so much if you're not. And another thing I want, Theatre Rhythm, that needs to be ported to Nintendo Wii U. That just needs to happen, because it just needs to happen. But yes, that was my game of the week.
So what's going down on the reticule, man?
Yes, over on the reticule, they've been stealing more of our stuff by doing a new game of the week section.
Oh,
our week in games, where you can read more about my time with Theatre Rhythm Final Fantasy. We've also been taking a look at LEGO Lord of the Rings, which is at GamesCon. There's a review of London 2012, the official video game. So if you're a bit sad about the Olympics finishing, you can go check that out. And finally, we have news that EA have no plans to bring women's football to FIFA. So, all you ladies, sorry.
Is that what the official statement was?
I believe, yes. A spokesman from EA said, all you ladies, sorry. Obviously, that's not true. So, yes, that's over at thereticule.com. And so, go check that out for more gaming news, reviews, and rumours. And that's all the time we have this week of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disc. I've been Jordez. With me has been...
Nick Nameless James.
And we've managed to make it for an entire episode somehow, because James seemed intent on sabotaging this one. Any last words, James?
Every human spent about half an hour as a single cell. Factoid.
I'm assuming you're going with factoid.
What? Children grow faster in the springtime.
I shall, as per usual, go with goodbye. Goodbye.
Cats can hear ultrasound.